الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، والرجل راع على أهل بيته ومسؤول عن رعيته. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: Respected brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with iman and made us from the wonderful ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us once again with this beautiful and most auspicious day of Jumu'ah. Many a times we remind ourselves of the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to keep on reminding ourselves to always remember this great ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within our hearts the respect and honor for this day of Jumu'ah, and may Allah grant us the ability to make the best use of this day and appreciate this gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us each and every week without fail. And then we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just a few days ago we were blessed and honored with witnessing the entire month of Ramadan. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the ibadah of every individual that was made in a month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the dua of every individual that was made in a month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that wonderful month of Ramadan a means of carrying us through the next 11 months of this year in a condition that we are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our actions are pleasing to Him. Respected brothers and elders, we have a term that is known across the world, and it's such a term which denotes sympathy for that group of people. And every man has a special place and has a soft place in his heart for these individuals, and that term is known as an orphan. Now, the moment the word orphan is mentioned, immediately our hearts go out to those individuals, and it demands sympathy and compassion from any individual. If you look at a person or you look at an individual and it's told to you that this man is an orphan or this child is an orphan, immediately you have that sense of feeling for this person. You have that sense of softness, that sense of compassion, and that sense of mercy. And especially as Muslims, more so, because Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has repeatedly advised us with regards to orphans, of how special care should be taken of them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is upon the one that takes care of them. In fact, it's so great for you to do good to an orphan and take care of an orphan that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised the level of such an individual to such an extent that he said, أَنَا وَكَافِلُ الْيَتِيمِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ هَكَذَا. He said, myself and the one who takes care of an orphan will be so close on the day of Qiyamah as your two fingers are so close to one another. So that's how high the level and the rank of that individual is raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by merely taking care of these individuals who are termed as orphans. Now, if we go into the general meaning of the word orphan, it would mean that that individual or that child who does not have parents, one or two of his parents have passed away, both his parents are not with him, so he is termed as an orphan. But as the world has evolved and as technology has advanced, we have, so to say, given birth to another type of an orphan, and this is called the modern day orphan. Now, what is the definition of the modern day orphan? In fact, if we look in the dictionary, one of the definitions of the word orphan itself is that child who has been deprived of the care of his parents. So it's not necessarily that your parents have to leave this world for you to be termed as an orphan. But if we really go into the meaning of this word, then that individual who has been deprived of the care of his parents, he is also termed as an orphan. And the world has given birth to the modern day orphan. Now what is this modern day orphan that we're talking about? Very simple, if you have to go into our lives and really look at the situation around us in various places, you will come to know that there are many, many modern day orphans. There are many youngsters walking, young boys and young girls walking the streets. They have both their parents alive, both their parents are well, both their parents are together, they all live under one roof. But these young boys and girls are termed as modern day orphans. Now again, what are we speaking about? When we look at our home environment, then it will be uncovered and we'll understand that to a certain extent, there are many, many modern day orphans. And what is the how does this happen? Look at the daily lives of many, many individuals around us. You enter a home, you will find the children in one direction and the parents in one direction. Now there was a teacher who gave her class an essay. The topic was, write what you would like to be the most in life. Write on what you would love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you or to enable you to be. So each child wrote his essay or his assignment with the greatest of enthusiasm. And now all this work was taken home. So now the teacher begins marking the essays of the children. And she comes across one and she reads it, and that brings her to tears. Tears start flowing from her eyes. So her husband walks in and he looks at her crying and he asks her that what has brought you to this emotional state. Now let's pause a moment and pay tribute to this husband who is even acknowledging the feelings of his wife. Because unfortunately, really speaking, today there's many a woman whose heart is crying out but there's nobody to hear that cry. There's many a woman who's literally tearing but there's nobody to see the tears. Because everybody is too busy and too involved in their lives. Sometimes the man is totally oblivious of the feelings of his family. He really doesn't know the cry that's coming out from the heart of his wife. So we give tribute to this man and we pay acknowledgement to him for the fact that he acknowledged the feeling of his wife and immediately asked, what is wrong? So she says, this is the assignment that I had given the kids in class today. And I'm busy marking it and I've come across this one. And let me read it out to you what the child says. So the child says that, oh Allah, I'm making this special dua to you. Oh Allah, please make me a TV. Now you must be shocked and you must be wondering what a thing for the child to ask for. But then the child further explains and he says that, oh Allah, the reason why I want you to make me a TV is because then I'll be absolutely loved by my family. Then I'm going to have a special place in my house for my family. I'll be put on a pedestal as well. And everybody will fight to spend time with me. The moment my father enters the house, immediately he'll want to spend time with me. My mother, I'll be able to make her laugh, I'll be able to make her cry. My siblings, they'll fight to spend time with me. So please, oh Allah, I'm begging you, make me a TV, make me a television set. Now this is the story that he's given, and this is the story that we have read. But let's take it in the modern time. So not necessarily that the child will want to be a TV, but now he'll probably make another dua, oh Allah, make me an iPad. Why? Because it doesn't have to necessarily be that I'll be put on a pedestal, but I'll be held in the arms, in the hands of my parents. Not only that, I'll be able to be put on their chest as well, because many people, you know, nowadays with the technology, we'll sit with the iPad on our chest, relaxing in our bed. Sometimes the child might say, oh Allah, make me an iPhone, even better, I'll be in the pocket of my father. Or the child might say, oh Allah, make me a BlackBerry. My mother will be with me the whole day. I mean, Facebook, everything will be right there. How much of time I'll get to spend with my parents? Now, it's really something for us to think about. All these gadgets of technology that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to make our lives easy. Has this really benefited us or has it estranged ourselves from each other? I mean, that home, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of our homes in the Quran, how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to your household? Allah says, Wallahu ja'ala lakum min buyutikum sakana. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made your home sakana, a place of tranquility, a place of peace. That's the first thing you're supposed to get from your home. How many a home is really a place of sukoon, a place of comfort, a place of peace? Or is it that we had peace with everybody being in their own world? Really speaking, let's go into our homes and see the situation. The father busy with his BlackBerry. The mother busy with her iPhone. Somebody's updating their Facebook. Somebody's updating their BlackBerry status. What is their state? Everybody's in their own world. Under one roof, but worlds apart. Everybody's under one roof and one household, but everybody's in their own world. Now, this is not the ideal situation. This is not what Islam speaks about. That family quality time that each family is supposed to have. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَوْيُوهُ بَلِيفُ قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Allah addresses those people of Iman and Allah says, save yourself and save your families from the fire of Jahannam. It's absolutely amazing what the commentators of the Quran have mentioned under this verse of the Quran. While on the one hand, we deserve a huge pat on the back for how much we have really done with regards to our children and to our future progenies. We have put up huge infrastructure with regards to their secular education and with regards to their Islamic education. Absolutely commendable, excellent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all those individuals who really take pride and care in the education of their children and the upbringing of their children. Now on that hand, we deserve a huge pat on the back. But we're talking about something more serious, something more important. And that is your physical interaction with your child. So it's not sufficient that you just bring up the child in a manner where you have clothed him and you have taken care of his needs out of the home. But what about your bond with the child as a parent? The greatest title ever given to an individual on earth is for him to be called a mother or a father. That is such a wonderful and great title that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with. There's no more greater honor than you being called a mother or a father. It's something that is being conferred to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. It's Allah's exclusive choice, because how many there are that don't have children? They don't have that honor of being called a mother or a father. But with every great honor comes great responsibility. Is it so simple and so easy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat, Al-Abu awsatu abwabil jannah. Is it something so easy that Jannah lies beneath the feet of the mother and the father is the main door to Jannah? I mean, is that something so simple that has been conferred upon parents? No, it's because of the great responsibility that this task entails. For you to be a mother, so much of responsibility is on your head. For you to be a father, so much more responsibility is on your shoulder. That is why Allah has raised you to that rank, that the father is the door to Jannah and Jannah lies beneath the feet of the mother. There's so much more that you have to do as a parent. Now every man needs to look within himself and ask himself, what is really my relationship with my child? Do I really have that bond with my child? Do I really have that door of communication open with my child? Everybody is very, very quick, and rightly so. There are times where we do have the right to complain of the condition of our youth, that the child is disrespectful and the child has this weakness and this fault and that fault. But when was the last time we looked within ourselves to ask, have I in any way contributed to the problem that is presently facing me? What have I really done to avoid the problem? And what is my relationship with my children? Those gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, this wonderful opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, have I truly fulfilled my task to the level that I have supposed to? When was the last time I had a conversation with my children? What is the condition of our home environment? Do we really sit down as a family and have that quality time? Or is every person in their own world and cocooned in their own environment? These are serious questions that we need to pose within ourselves. Look at the wonderful life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and see the interaction that he had with his children. See the interaction that he had with his grandchildren. See the bond that he had with those around him. And you will find that it was so outstanding, the love and the compassion that he had, especially for his children and more so his grandchildren. We all know the famous example, the famous incident that is narrated when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was performing salah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum behind him, and he went down in sajda, and while in sajda, one of his grandsons jumped on his back, and suddenly it became a very, very lengthy sajda. So the moment the salah finished and terminated, the Sahaba immediately asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam,